Let us pray. God of light and life, through your word, may your Holy Spirit open our eyes and our hearts, that we may see who you are, who we are, and who we are called to be, that we may follow in your way. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Here's God's word. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Beloved of God, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Thanks be to God.
So throughout Mark's gospel, and you may have noticed this, that we have been traveling with Jesus and his disciples through Mark's gospel account, there have been numerous healings. Mark has told us of several. He's told us of a number of them, and he's also alluded to many more. In fact, a defining characteristic of Jesus' ministry, a ministry whose mission statement Mark gave back at the beginning of Mark in chapter 1. You may remember Jesus. It says Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe, trust in this good news." And part of Jesus proclaiming this good news of God's kingdom that has come near has been all of these healings. Well, this here is the last healing in Mark's gospel. For Mark, this healing here with Bartimaeus is the culminating healing story. And it bookends this section that we have been on for these past, I don't know, it's been a couple months maybe. This section we've been on, this whole on-the-way section of discipleship, right? It bookends this whole section of the disciples just not getting it, just not quite being able to understand or grasp what it means and what it looks like to follow Jesus, to follow a Messiah who is on his way to Jerusalem to be handed over. And two, as Jesus just said right before this passage, if you remember from last week, to follow a Messiah who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This healing of Bartimaeus, in fact, of all the people healed by Jesus, this is the only one that Mark identifies by name and family. Mark wants to make sure we see Bartimaeus. And in all likelihood, actually, Mark probably uses his name too because those to whom Mark was originally writing probably would have known of this man Bartimaeus. Mark mentions his name and his family because he knows that there are people who will be reading this and hearing this there for the first time who don't just even know of Bartimaeus, but probably know him. They're able to identify him. This healing of this man, Bartimaeus, is a bookend on this section of Mark that we have been in. the culminating healing story. And the second time that Jesus has given sight to someone who was blind. The first time was way back a few chapters ago. Right, actually, at the beginning of this whole on-the-way discipleship section. The first bookend. Right before Peter professes that Jesus is the Messiah, there's a man who was blind who was brought to Jesus by some people, presumably his friends, who beg Jesus to just touch him because they know he'll be healed. And Jesus puts saliva on this man's eyes and lays his hands on him, and the man, well, at that touch, he can sort of see, but it's not quite there yet. And so Jesus has to lay his hands on him a second time, and this time, the man can see fully. And Jesus sends him off to his home. There in that first one, the healing didn't take right away. It was a bit of a struggle to get him there. But eventually it does get there and the man can see. And right after that, we began that whole section of Jesus, those three times foretelling his death and resurrection and all that about the last shall be first and the first shall be last and being a servant of all and taking up your cross and all of that. And the three times he talked about that, and then his disciples just didn't get it. They couldn't quite see it. And now bookending that, we come to Bartimaeus, who is blind and who is a beggar. Probably actually because he was blind, his options would have been limited. He would have been on the bottom rung of society. His days would have consisted of sitting on the road outside the city with his cloak spread out before him, hoping that kind folks passing by would toss some money or anything useful, really, onto his cloak so he could easily gather it up. His cloak, his only means of protection against the elements and his only means of provision. Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem, passing through Jericho, and Bartimaeus is there, sitting by the roadside, it says. Literally sitting by, sitting along the way. Bartimaeus gets clued in, probably from the crowds talking, that it's Jesus of Nazareth coming by, and he's heard about this guy enough at any rate to know that somehow this is someone who can do something about things. And so he begins to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David!" Now, up until now, Jesus has been identified as a lot of things. But this is the first time that Mark tells us that Jesus is identified as the Son of David. The first time he's been identified as the son of a king. And not just any king, but the king. King David. Jesus has been going around proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near, but this is the first time anyone has seen Jesus as the one who might just be the person who has a claim to that throne as well. Bartimaeus has somehow seen what others could not see. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Literally, "Jesus, Son of David, mercify me. Mercify me. Make me a vessel. Make me exhibit A of," well, the word there, mercy. Do you remember several months ago, back this past summer when we went through the book of Ruth? Do you remember that word? It was a Hebrew word. It was that thing that was a thread. It was mentioned a few times, but it was a thread that was woven through the entire book of Ruth. That word that was the very definition of God's orientation to the world, to humanity, to God's people. A word that shows up throughout the Psalms and the prophets. Do you remember there was a word? It's the word chesed. Does that ring a bell? Good. I'm so grateful. Chesed. It's this wonderful Hebrew word. Again, it shows up in the Psalms and the prophets all over the place. Loving kindness, steadfast covenant faithfulness. It was the word that, if there was any word that described God's orientation to the world and to God's people, this was it. Loving kindness, steadfast covenant faithfulness, come what may. The word here for mercy, the word Bartimaeus cries out for, asking for this thing to be turned into a verb directed at him, have mercy on, mercify me. It's this Greek word eleos. It's the same word that is used in the Greek translation of that Hebrew word chesed. Jesus, Son of David, show me God's steadfast covenant, faithful, loving kindness. Make me a vessel of that. He cries out, mercify me. Well, this is annoying to the crowds. So they try to get him to be quiet, right? They try to keep him from interrupting Jesus, not unlike the disciples earlier. You may remember this chapter when people were bringing their children to Jesus and they said, no, you're gonna interrupt Jesus, stop. And the same thing's going on here, but this just makes Bartimaeus shout out all the more. So Jesus stops still in his tracks. He stands firm and says, call him here. You, crowd, bring Bartimaeus to me. Don't put any stumbling blocks. Don't be stumbling blocks. But rather clear the way and make sure he gets here to me. So the crowd changes their tune real quick. Suddenly this crowd that has just been trying to discourage Bartimaeus is now saying, Bartimaeus, take heart, have courage, be encouraged. Jesus is calling you. So what does Bartimaeus do? He throws off his cloak, his one item of protection and provision, his possession. He throws it off. He casts it aside, springs up, and goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Which is a question. I don't know. Does it sound familiar? Just a few verses ago. Again, if you can remember back, Jesus had asked that same question to James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And now he asks it of the son of Timaeus. What do you want me to do for you? My rabbi, my teacher, let me see again, Bartimaeus says. And Jesus says, go. Your faith, your trust has made you well. Or depending on the translation you're reading, your faith has saved you. It has healed you. It has brought you wholeness. The word for healing is the same as for salvation. In God's kingdom, salvation is not just a spiritual thing. It is a whole thing. And immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight. But he doesn't go, does he? He doesn't go. Rather, he now also follows Jesus on the way. This is quite a bookend. Before Jesus restores his physical sight, Bartimaeus could see what even Jesus' disciples had been struggling to see, what they had been blind to. Bartimaeus sees it. The rich man that had come to Jesus and went away grieving because he had many possessions, well, Bartimaeus throws aside the sum of his possessions in order to jump up and come follow Jesus. When Jesus asked James and John, two of his disciples, two of those who were in the inner circle, two of those who were seen and known as close followers of Jesus, when he asked them what they want him to do for them, they answer out of a desire, if you remember, a desire for prominence and esteem, the power and privilege they think they deserve to sit on the right and left of Jesus. But when Jesus asked the same question to Bartimaeus, a beggar on the bottom rung of society, he answers with nothing but his need and his trust. You see, this is the culmination. Bartimaeus is who Mark wants us to see as the exemplar of discipleship. Throughout these past chapters, the disciples, the very public followers of Jesus, again and again have shown that they want the good seats. Bartimaeus has simply asked to be a vessel of God's mercy, of God's steadfast covenant faithfulness, of God's loving kindness. And when he receives it, he doesn't just go on about his life as normal. He follows Jesus on the way. He joins in even though the way is now leading toward Jerusalem. In fact, the very next thing Mark tells us about is that Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem, where those hard things that Jesus has been foretelling throughout this section here, these chapters, they will come to pass. Bartimaeus is the last word before that final week of Jesus' life. And in him, we have seen that the last and the least in society and the kingdoms of this world, when God's kingdom, they truly have become the first in discipleship and in the way of Jesus. And so Bartimaeus will follow Jesus on the way to Jerusalem into that final week, where he will see what Jesus has foretold, and in that he too will become a witness to the mystery of the very glory of God and the power of this Jesus to bring about new resurrected life. Mercify me indeed. Would that we could all be like Bartimaeus. And in our better moments, I suspect we are. It is said that the last words of Martin Luther, the great reformer before his death, these were his last words: "We are all beggars. This is true." And I suspect in our better moments, we get glimpses of this too, don't we? Of our needs. But we are all still on the way as well. I love that while Bartimaeus is the closing bookend, the culmination, the first bookend of this section is also Jesus giving sight to a man who is blind, but it doesn't take right away. It's a bit of a struggle. At first, he gets a hazy, shadowy sort of sight. He can sort of see, but it takes more work. I love that that's where discipleship begins. We get glimpses, hazy, shadowy glimpses. We begin to see things we haven't been able to, even though we don't always get there right away. And I love that the disciples so often can't seem to see. Because we know that eventually they do get it. And so for all of us that sometimes fail in seeing what God is up to and seeing God at work in our lives and in the world around us, there is hope. Bartimaeus is the culmination, the final word on this. And we are on the way with Bartimaeus. And I love that the crowd that wanted Bartimaeus to just be quiet, to not get in the way. They were worried that Bartimaeus might interrupt the good and proper, holy and sacred work of Jesus, but that Jesus stopped and stood still, showing us what is truly his good and proper, holy and sacred work. As he stood firm there for the sake of Bartimaeus. But not just for Bartimaeus. Because notice what Jesus does in that moment. Jesus does not call Bartimaeus to come to him. No, Jesus calls this same crowd. He calls this crowd that had been trying to stop Bartimaeus. He calls this crowd to call Bartimaeus to him. Jesus takes those who could not yet see what he was up to and invites them, even in the midst of their blindness, to take part. Come, take part. Clear the way. Be a part of this chesed, elios, mercifyingly, steadfastly, faithful, loving, kindness, kingdom work of salvation. Become a part of it. Even though you can't quite see it yet, become a part of the wholeness and healing and salvation of my kingdom. And so in that, even as one commentator put it, in that the cry of need that caused Bartimaeus to be shunned by many becomes the very occasion for their glimpse of God's final intention for all of creation. All the open-eyed, the blind and the blurry-eyed alike, all are invited to participate in the wholeness, healing, and salvation of God's kingdom. All are invited to come and have their eyes opened. And in the vision of Bartimaeus, the vision he had and proclaimed in faith, and the vision he therefore received, we too are given a glimpse, a sight, a vision of what may yet happen when God's kingdom has come and comes near. And so we too might ask, what is it we want Jesus to do for us? Family, let it be that he would help us see our blindness, where we have blind spots. Are we longing for a greater faith, a greater vision? Well, what might we, like the disciples, like the crowd, need help seeing? What is it we might be blind to? What is it perhaps that those on the outskirts, others around us along the way? If Mark's gospel is to be believed, then there are things that those like Bartimaeus, they see that we either do not or cannot see for ourselves. Perhaps it is our many possessions. Perhaps it is because we are closer sometimes to the top than the bottom. Perhaps it is because we desire to be closer to the first than the last, closer to the centers of power than the places of need. Then let our prayer be that we hear and heed Jesus' call to us, helping each other see, and to be open to Jesus using us to clear the way for one another and for others, calling those we may be overlooking, clearing the way for Jesus to pour out his healing, his wholeness, and his salvation. To be able to see, maybe there's something I'm not seeing here. I need you to help me see it. And in that, to have all our eyes opened to God's kingdom near and among us. It is indeed a grace and a mercy. It is the very faithful, loving kindness of God to see that we don't always see, but to be able to see those, our neighbors, our friends, family, even strangers, who can help show us our blind spots and we theirs. To find those who can see the kingdom of God where we sometimes get blinded by other things. And may our prayer be for God to likewise mercify us, that we may be not vessels of power or esteem, but vessels of God's mercy, that we may truly see what is true, that it is we who are beggars and in need of opened eyes. For indeed, God's kingdom is a kingdom of beggars and of those who are just learning to see. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us indeed. May we have the faith of Bartimaeus and the vision to see all the Bartimaeuses who are all along the way. Where we cannot see, may we call out to Jesus all the more. May this be our prayer and the prayer of the church. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us and let us truly see. See you, see your kingdom, and see your way. Sisters and brothers, beloved of God, may we too rise and follow Jesus, seeing the nearness of his kingdom. May we too rise as those who have been mercified. And may we too hear his call to become agents of his mercy to one another and to all along the way. Let us see indeed. Amen.